the Make a Coffee and Reason podcast, where life's currents may be tough, but we are brewing resilience. Let's sip on growth and face the flow. Through shared stories and reasoned conversations, we find strength in the face of adversity. So join us as we navigate life's currents one thoughtful sip at a time. I'm your host, Nurse Douglas Atkinson, and with me is your co-host, Zavanna James. Now, as we embark on our caffeinated journey of dialogue and discovery, let's center ourselves with our podcast mantra. Brewing resilience and sipping strength, one cup at a time. Today, sipping with us is our very own simple kryptonic, Mr. Jordan Simpson, a son of the soil of Kellett High School. Our very own creative, musical-minded, and versatile DJ that has been blooming in the music industry. He is the co-founder of a Jamaican team of DJs called Kryptonic. Mr. Simpson has paved his own way in this musical industry. And as he was a wild card in the 2017 Sun City High School Disc Jockey competition, and in 2018, he was placed third. Not only that, but he was also invited on the morning TV show Weekend Smile, where he had the opportunity to entertain the Emmy Award winning actress Cheryl Lee Ralph. So though Mr. Simpson is all that and a bag of chips, it's important for us to know that he was not handed this on a silver platter. Jordan will be sharing with us today how he navigated the roles of anxiety, peer pressure, inconsistency, and the stigma attached to the music industry. So welcome to our platform, Mr. Simpson. It is absolutely an honor to have you here.
Thank you for having me, guys. First, I want to say good afternoon to the platform. Good afternoon to the listeners.
You have shared with us more than one thing that you'd like to cover. However, what really piqued my interest was when you mentioned the peer pressure that you had gone through as a young DJ. You know, what kind of peer pressure you could have really got through as a DJ? Because that's kind of a little, not really something that you see a lot. Tell us a little more about that.
So peer pressure, guys, when it comes on to the music industry, most times is affiliated with things that are mostly secular and things that would be more raunchy. So things like smoking, things like drugs. Peer pressure when coming into the music is very heavy, especially as a DJ doing mostly secular music. It's really a hard thing to stay in line.
That's definitely interesting and new to me. I wouldn't imagine a DJ himself, even though, you know, the nature of your work, it really does call for some sort of interaction with that. But I wouldn't think that, you know, the peer pressure would have come with it. That is really enlightening. So the drugs, the alcohol, the smoking, anything else?
Also the polygamy that comes in it as well. So, you know, sometimes it's said that, oh yeah, DJ, why you not have 3, 4, 5 girls? Yeah, understand? So a lot of things come with it.
So at what age did you experience this?
Because I started music very early. I started at age 14, but I officially came out and did my first project at age 15. So most times when anybody asks how long I've been doing music, officially I would just say 2015. So I started my career at that time. And from the age 15, you might go around people in the industry and like, a man will say like, let's sit down, simple, lend me a lighter. And I'm like, I don't smoke. And they must say, so how you play music and you don't smoke? You understand? So things like those always come into play. And always encouraged by sometimes older DJs. So say that would lead to the anxiety aspect of it. They would say like, you're feeling nervous. Why you not try smoke this? Why you not try drink this?
I see you mentioning the stigma and the stereotypes, as in with the lighter and everything. So what I want to ask you is, how do you overcome all of this, right? Because it isn't a norm for society. So how do you overcome all of this, the peer pressure and everything?
All right. So That's a very good question, I must say. So how I overcome it, from a tender age, I've always been a resilient person. I've always been had a mind of my own. So it's not really easy, but it's something that you have to do when you have your morals and you have your standards and you know where you want to be. That is the most important thing. So it's always sticking to your morals and sticking for what you believe in. So I believe that I can be a successful DJ and I don't have to do anything that I see in the industry that I don't like. If I'm not of that nature, I just won't do that.
Another question. You mentioned success, right? Being successful in the music industry. So what I want to ask you is, was the dream ever this big? Did you envision yourself going so far in the music industry?
Actually, no. I've never, some places that I've been, I've never thought that, you know, one day I'm going to go there. So I like just starting out, I would just like to entertain a crowd. I would just like to entertain my friends. And then moving forward, you get one experience and then one experience just fuels you to want to get to the next one. And then the dream gets bigger as you go along. And I think that's the magical thing about it, because I don't look too far, but I just want to do the best for now.
A lot of times when we, you know, write down this entire goal for the year, goal for 5-10 years, but for you, you're working with what life has given you within this moment and conquering that.
All right, so don't get me wrong. I do have goals and I do set my goals, but I don't set my goals that far where. So I would have my weekly goals and my monthly goals, my yearly goals. So I just set short-term goals. And then as I go along, I would say, all right, what's the next step? What's the best for my career? No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because music is really unpredictable. So you just have to adjust as you go along and not say, all right, this is what I want to do. And then when you reach down the line, you figure that it's not something that you can really go through with. You might have to alter your plans.
You might have to redirect.
There is a goal, but it's not set in stone.
Okay, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So I want to take us back to where you had mentioned the peer pressure at first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where peer pressure is concerned, at one point or another, if I even want a little bit, but possibly slip and slide. Was there ever a point in time where you had seriously considered, you know, maybe me if we just try this for that one time here or that two time here or, you know, three times, me not go get stuck on this, but at this point in time, I think this may be able to help to calm me. Has that ever been you at any point in time?
Honestly, yes, it has been. When it comes down to substances, when it comes down to our industry where everybody that you see and everyone around you, even the people that you look up to and people you have as these are my role models, they might not show it on the media, they might not show it on in their general conversation, but they would say, all right, I have the same problems as you when it comes down to it. Yeah, you might get a little stage fright, yeah, you might get a little nervous. You might have, because the thing is, I'm also a performer. So on a day, you might have a bad day. You might go to a show today and today is not your best day. You're not feeling as good. And yeah, sometimes you do get that pressure to say, I probably may have to try something in order to get rid of this feeling so that I can perform at my best. And yes, have been times where the peer pressure gets really strong and you feel like your back is against a wall. But even those times where, you know, we are boy picking in Jamaica, sometimes you go say, all right, you know what, let me take a little one jam, let me try. And then when I tried it, I'm like, this isn't off me. And I feel like I've broken my morals and things like that. I feel like I let down myself. So that feeling alone, to not have that, we kind of try to stay in our lane and do our thing and things that make us comfortable.
At which point in time did you find yourself reflecting and saying that this isn't you?
Most of the times it's after the fact. And sometimes it's also hearing and seeing the effects that it has on other people and knowing that I wouldn't want to be that person where the one time I go try something.
Catch you.
It catch me. I'm messing. You understand? Like, we just don't. I just don't want to be that one person. I may say me, some of the time, may I say, all right, you know, probably I'm here the salt one, so I'm not going to try it. At the end of the day, we do have our morals, so we try to balance it and we try to stay away from things that are not off our morals.
Having gone through the peer pressure, is that what started the anxiety?
All right, no. Anxiety for me is expectation. So I would be what people would say would be a kid star. So like from the age 14, 15, I've been a person going to school. I'm leaving the school, going to the parties on a Friday, going to the party on a Saturday, sometimes Sundays as well. And then I come back to school. Everybody in my school surrounding sees me as
a little role model.
Yeah, a bigger thing than what I see myself as. So they see me as a role model. Some of them would say, all right, this is what I want to do when I grow up. But mentally, it's a challenge because I have to literally be an adult sometimes and be a kid sometimes. So it has a play on the mental because you try to stay within your realms and you try not to go too far out of it. But sometimes the career takes you to and forces you to actually be an adult when you're not, or force you to be in adult spaces. So you have to be adjusting. And then there are the expectations of you to be a child. And then when you go to work, it's like...
It's a whole different thing.
It's a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it basically forms like two personalities. So yeah, that's what causes it.
So fluctuating between that high and that low, it kind of gives you that... makes it hard to maintain at times.
Yes. Yeah.
And then when you find yourself at X place, you say, oh, this is not who I'm supposed to be right now.
Exactly, so that's supposed to be someone else.
What are some things that happened whenever you have an anxiety attack?
All right, so when I have an anxiety attack, like I stutter a lot. So what I started to do in order to like fix that, I try speaking more slowly and try to think about what I'm saying, and sometimes when I'm having an anxiety attack, I write also. So I write messages to myself sometimes even before so that I can go back. And when I'm having that anxiety attack, I can read messages that I left for myself.
That helps to calm you down.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, that's really interesting. What brought you to actually choosing that strategy?
All right. So I'm a person that I like to read. And I also like movie quotes. And sometimes lines from songs will get me. So in the media, I will hear one thing. And then when I hear that line, that the whole line in the movie just speaks to me. And I will make a drastic change in my life just because of one line. So what I try to do is try to latch on to what is this? Every song that I listen to, I try to say, what is this song actually telling me? What is the message? And if I'm watching a movie, what is this trying to teach me? And I try to get the lessons and just put it in a note and keep it. And so I have a lot of mantras.
Mantra one?
All right. So one of them is, you are very far from home. And it's not the distance from home, but it is the morals that you take with you on the road and the lessons you take back home. So you don't have to worry about what is going on now, but you will learn something and you will be able to teach something tomorrow.
You're big on morals.
Yes, I am. Very big.
I can see that. Is that something that you believe that most DJs should have?
Yes. Now, not only DJs, just society overall. Morals build a personality. It builds the community. It builds the world on a whole. And sometimes we get strayed away from what is important and we try to focus on what a trending thing and what hot now. And the thing is, trends will always fade, but morals are going to always stick. As long as you have good morals, they will always stick. And as long as you bring that everywhere, that's a function in society and that's better for everybody.
As you mentioned about sticking, right? How do you ensure that your discipline sticks? Or how do you maintain discipline?
Wow. It's just the same. It will be the same thing as the morals. Like we try to practice all of that. And also, some of the times I speak to my peers and I speak to people that really believe in what I'm doing. And it's just trying to please myself and also not let anybody down, because I wouldn't want to be the person where they say, boy, I simple me lose half of you. And I don't want to be that person where me go looking in the mirror tomorrow and say, me lose half of myself, because I know that that is not half me. So the discipline, I have to stick with the discipline for myself and for who is looking on and cheering me on as well.
Okay. You mentioned consistency. So I want to know, why is it so hard to be consistent as it concerns your area? Because persons will have the view that it's simple 1-2.
No, never simple 1-2. So the other thing, that this is another thing I live by, is be like a duck. So on the surface, you're just moving smoothly, but on the down, you're paddling. So no, anybody can only see you going very smoothly, but they don't see how far or how hard you have to be paddling. So when I'm home, I'm big on practicing, I'm big on researching, I'm big on teaching things. So I wouldn't think that I would be only a musician. I think I experiment with things and I like to entertain with teaching. So if you even hear me speak once I'm playing, I will try to leave if even one piece of knowledge with my audience.
Consistency and morals, they speak to who you are. And it is obvious that this is something that you have developed from you were a child, an adolescent. So what is one thing that I want to know? How does a child develop morals or find their own morals? Because that is not something that a lot of persons really, a person really think on, nor think that they should have or need to have. Not a lot of persons find the need to look into themselves and say, you know, say, if I do this, I'm going to disappoint myself or I'm going to disappoint others. How am I going to not do this? What do I stand for? How does an adolescent find something that they stand for and actually stick by it?
Okay, that's a good question. I like that question. All right, so for me to learn morals, like it starts from the home. I very much believe in that.
Miss Barbara Shee.
Oh God, man. Oh God, Miss Barbara Shee. Everybody knows. So the thing is, my mother is a teacher. She is also a disciplinarian as well. Mm-hmm. So even a lot of the times people say, oh, okay, I'm Miss Simpson's son. I play music, and you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But it's so far-fetched from what she believes in. But I try to do the not so normal, and I like step outside of the norm, but also keeping my morals to let people see that it's not as bad as what people perceive it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So getting my morals from my host and how I was brought up in a disciplined household. Yeah. So as much as I was a youngster going to school and also playing music, the grades them always up there as well. Because if you want to keep doing this, you have to show, say, you can balance. So it's all about how the home is situated and also what is upheld in the home as well. Because that's very much a part of it. So I didn't grow up seeing certain things, and I think that I just believe in what I saw growing up, and that is very much the influence.
And I do believe that a stable home somewhat helps with that as well, because you may have a parent that tries to instill certain morals in a child, yet they believe otherwise, or they act otherwise, which really does play a part. So I do believe that the home that you had, along with the morals, it really helped a lot. But what about those who don't have that example at home, and they are pretty lost? How do they find their own morals?
When it comes on to who doesn't have a steady home, so I assume that you're talking about the people with, like, one single parent home, home with no parents. So if not in every home or in every community, there is even one person that you can say, you know, I look up to that person. Yeah. I like how they do this and I like how they do that, whether the influence is bad or good. Somebody always has somebody who they look up to.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there is the broader society. So you go to school, you're going to have your teachers. Because what a lot of people don't realize also is that you're raised more at school than you are at home, because you spend majority of your time at school. So if the environment at school is not good and the environment at home is not good, 9 times out of 10, everybody knows how that will end up.
True.
So more often than not, if you don't have a good support system at home, if you don't have the good morals at home, there will be somebody to guide, but it is not only the guidance, but it is also the willingness to
step understand into that role.
And step into that role and take what somebody is telling you.
Yes.
So a lot of the morals part, it depends on you and what you want for yourself as well.
That's true. That's really true. I was having a conversation with one of my pastors this week, that's Reverend Bartley. And he said something similar to what you're saying now, because of how he carries himself and the respect that even the young children have for him. You have young boys saying to their parent that, "Mommy, I got the shoes that I want. You see, when you sit on my right foot, I saw me want if you sit on my foot too. If your pants don't neat like feet, mommy, I saw me want my pants fit press." You know, if we always have that one person that we can look up to, it may not be at home. I know how sometimes the trauma at home really affects us elsewhere, but if we are really willing to look out and say that I want better for myself, you can find it, you know.
Yeah, of course you can. Definitely.
So, Mr. Simpson, you spoke about your peer pressure, anxiety, touched a little on consistency, but just before going back to that, I want us to go back to the stigma that is associated with the music industry. You said something at first that really, you know, piqued my interest, that within the music industry, there is the pressure of individuals smoking or drinking, mm-hmm. you know, kind of healthy, keep your meds in a straight line. And they expect you to always have one bag of gal, right? Mm-hmm. So are those the only stigmas that are attached to it?
All right. The thing is, those are the main ones. Those are the main ones. Why you not have why you not have one but a girl? Why you not smoke? So the thing is, I always get those questions because I'm the odd one out. So yeah, so those are questions that I always get asked. And I'm not sure, probably because from as far as I can remember, if you can look at everybody coming up, not only have the most successful always fall into that realm, so most likely it's just expected from everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just a stereotype, and I don't think it will ever disappear either, because a lot of the people also enter the industry just because of things like that. So
because they think that is going to be them one day.
Exactly.
One with a bag of girl.
Yeah.
At any point in time, was this ever you, the stereotype to DJ?
Yeah, of course. Very much. Right through high school.
Was it only high school though?
Even though, yes. I have heard it even recently that, "Oh, you just look like you're a whole heap of woman." And I mean, I said, "What is that particular look though?" So it's just always a thing that it's always a topic.
Did you ever live up to it?
I wouldn't say that. I was tempted to live up to it, but no.
What made you resist? Because I can imagine that being in a situation where you're always surrounded by persons who smoke, always surrounded by persons who drink, always surrounded by persons who say, "Oh, I have I have Jane Marianne Suzette around there." So yes, you possibly have said to yourself, say, "Oh, how that's supposed to feel."
Yes, and also being around those persons and persons who are willing to say, "Okay, I want to be girl number one, girl number two, and all of them someday." How do you, yes?
That does happen. So I think a majority of it comes from, you know, one time I tried it and it didn't work out for me. Right, so I'm like, I was in high school at the time. You know, yeah, you know, you have a little girlfriend and she lent me a watch one time and the other girl said, where you get a watch? That watch are nice. Take the watch off of me. And then the other girl said, where the watch there? I am stuck in the middle of a triangle. I don't know what to do. One girl number one, see girl number two with the watch and them part them ways. Everybody left me and gone about them business. So
you were made an example of.
I would make exactly, and I took an example from that moment. I mean, so you know, so the way how I felt at that time, I feel stupid. I mean, so I don't want to feel like this again. So I just say, you know, if I can't have a steady relationship, I just do it out. You understand? Yeah. So that's how me do most of the time, because if like every time I try, say, you know, I want to be with this person. And then the stigma sometimes come back. Yeah, so sometimes it even hurts relationships as well. So it's just something I have to live with. That's something I have to live with.
So with your experiences, and I'm pretty sure that you have younger DJs that look up to you, do you help to guide them where this is concerned, where the peer pressure is concerned, if they face anxiety, and, you know, give them a heads up about the stigma attached to it?
Yes, I do, because one of the things I do, and I try to always make sure that I'm a support system for younger DJs. So even like the Sun City High School disc jockey competition, from the moment I entered it, every school, because I did the competition with two schools, I did it with Clarendon College 2017. When I left, I ensured that there was a DJ to be here when I left. And then the same thing at Kellett High School, I tried to implement that. So if you have an interest, I try to put you in the same seat that I was, and let you experience some things. I try to motivate them not only on the performance but on the mental part of the music. Mm-hmm. Some listen, some go by the wayside sometimes, and that's just how it goes, because not everybody will be mentally strong.
Mm-hmm. And everybody has learned from the mistake at one point exactly. Or the other.
Yeah, so sometimes they come back and say, simple, you know, say, yeah, they didn't tell me this, and I know me just understand. So it happens a lot, very much happens a lot.
All right, so thank you for that. What we would like to know as we turn on the lights on this episode, how did consistency come about to be as important as it is to you now? We have acknowledged previously in the episode that consistency is something that you had struggled with, and you made it known that practicing was important to you, mastering your craft, and ensuring that you are always the best in your game. How did consistency come about to be as important to you?
All right. So consistency is, all right, so basically everyone, and you know, funny enough, I should add that my consistency comes from the engagement that I did have with Miss Sherry Lee Ralph when I entertained her on the platform. So one of the things she said to me was, you are very good at what you do, but what sets you apart from the rest? And for a minute, I was puzzled. Then I went for lunch and came back, and she was speaking to me again. And she said, remember that everyone will have the same music as you. They will be able to say the same things that I say. We will be able to entertain the same crowds. We will know the same people. What will set you apart from them? And yeah, I was puzzled. And then she gave me the answer, and the answer was, be consistent and also put your personality into everything that you do. So let people fall in love with your work because you put your heart into it. And putting your heart into it means that you will practice day in and day out so that anything you're doing, it becomes a muscle memory. And it's also, it's seamless, and you do it effortlessly because of how well you practice, so that once you go out there, it will seem like you're just always perfect. But it's not always perfect. It's a consistency behind the scenes to be able to go out there and be always consistent.
Powerful. Absolutely powerful. You have in your BRS, that's the Brief Resilience Scale, you have proven to have a really high resilience. How did you develop this over time? Because with all that you had gone through at one point in time, you weren't always this resilient to trauma. So how did you develop this over time?
All right. So the resilience, I think I got the resilience when, like, over time, when you realize that nothing will be gifted to you. And when you realize that sometimes you also try and you do your best and you still come up short and you have to do your best again. It's just a thing where you trial and error make you say, all right, you know what? I might have to just put my all in at this every single time. And it might not go anywhere, but it's always just progress over perfection.
True. So true. So what have you learned in your past that you are still applying in your life now?
One thing that I learned, proper preparation prevents poor performance. Yeah, so that's also one that I pick up and I live by that one. And also that pain is temporary also. So you might do a show today, you might not feel like you did your best, but the pain that you feel from that, the hurting emotions, it's temporary. So tomorrow you have to get up and you have to do the same thing again and make sure that you don't feel that temporary pain, but you will feel another one down the line, because every time you learn and every time you pick up something, especially when it's something like, you ever have something like you're just not getting it, like everybody there, like you just not get it and you wonder why, if something is wrong with you, that pain that you feel when you just did your best. Because even when I placed third in the Sun City competition, I thought that I did my best. And then looking back at it now, I'm saying that pain was temporary. I did step away from that. I've come further than I could have expected. And I'm just seeing now that pain was just temporary. So what I felt as I should have done more, that was for that time, yes, I should have done more, but I did my best at that time. So that pain was just temporary. So every time I'm feeling something like, you know, I feel down, I know, say, all right, you know what, next week, I'm going to do better.
That is close to what something that I tell most persons as well. Always be prepared to face adversity. Hardship are going to always come your way. You can't run lefty. As something we live by hardships, literally. And if you are always prepared to learn from it and move forward, the next thing that hits you, it won't hit you as hard.
And I also think it's the best teacher as well. The best lessons you learn when you're at your lowest.
Yes. Yes. Now, as we close the show, I want to ask you three questions. So these are three questions that we try to always end with. So let's say that you are talking to your adolescent self right now. What are some practical steps that you would give yourself in order to create an environment that you will thrive in?
I would just say, be more consistent. I would just say what you're doing is working, you're making progress. Mm-hmm. And I would also say you never know who is watching. So be the best version of yourself at all times, because you never know who is looking and you never know who will help you in the long run. Yeah.
Yes. Beautiful. And what encouraging words would you have for any adolescent right now that may be going through similar situations of peer pressure, anxiety, struggling with consistency or stigma in any situation that they are in right now? What are some encouraging words you'd have for them?
One of the things that I have always learned and proven to is that it is always, speaking to the peer pressure aspect, you have to always remember, and you can look at it. There are countless amount of examples there. When you are living your life, for you, and what other people do shouldn't impact your life, because at the end of the day, if I in a school, when school lack friend gone about them business, I've seen where people and them friend apart and friend influence friend for smoke and do drugs and all that or something. When school lack, the friend may do the influencing, somebody file for him gone a foreign, gone make a better life. You are left here to deal with all the way you put yourself in a friend farm gang, and then something happened, friend moved, gone over this, or gone a different school, you left here with a battle that was not yours to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
For the other aspect is, there is a thing that people underestimate, and it's one of the biggest languages that is thriving in society right now, and it is association and also networking. Try to live and be as at peace with everyone, because the same person where you might say, oh, sure, him no come after nothing. You're going to interview next 5 years, and he's that person in the interview, or he's the person coming out and can tell us, listen, yes, when you're going there, this is going to happen, or I can't mm-hmm. give you a heads up. The same person where you're disrespecting at high school might be the police where stop you at the stoplight.
How does it feel to have overcome adversity as a child?
All right, so it feels really good to know that I have overcome adversities. I try my best to do my best. That's the thing. You understand? Mm-hmm. I try my best to do my best. So when I overcome things, I just look back at it with a smile. Look with a smile, and knowing that I prepared myself and I passed what I thought I couldn't. So that's one of the best feelings.
Definitely. And such a beautiful story at that. Thank you, Mr. Simpson, for stopping by today and sharing such an inspirational story. You have shared with us the highs and lows and a lot of unexpected occurrences in the life of a young DJ. And you have shown us that having a high moral in your life and having something that you live by, something that you stand for. When Marcus Garvey say,
yeah, stand for something or fall for nothing.
Or fall for nothing, yes, yes, yes. And you stood for something. You stood up for yourself even when it was hard to do so. You may have fallen a few times, but you came back up and you said that, hey, this isn't me. And I believe that is something that a lot of us can take a page out of and reflect and say, that is this me? Because at times we adjust to situations that they are not feeding us. They're feeding someone else, but it is definitely not us. So I just wanted to say thank you for sharing such an inspirational story and for reminding us that having a moral, having something to stand for, is the best way to set ourselves out in society. And where can our listeners find you on social media? We know that you produce work every now and then. So apart from the occasional or your usual parties or events that you work at, you produce work. So where can we find you?
Okay, so first of all, thank you guys for having me on this like well-constructed platform. It's a pleasure to be here. So where you can find me, it's at Simpo, S-I-M-P-O _ Kryptonic on all platforms. I don't think, like, there's only one person in this world called DJ Simpo. So it's Simpo Kryptonic or DJ Simpo on every platform. And I'm also a producer now. I just started venturing into that. So I just recently released my first set of music. So that's at GNP Ballers Records. So that on all platforms as well. You can stream the music on all digital platforms, all streaming platforms, and just look out for new content. I'm also an actor too, so sometimes I do acting every now and then.
Where is Simpo? Come again. You are a producer.
I'm a producer.
A producer, sir.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of music or lyrics or instrumental, in terms of what?
I have done writing, I have done instrumentals, so I do play it. So I play the instruments that you hear on the beat. I also write lyrics, I also sing lyrics sometimes.
What you say?
Yeah, so the whole production.
So what is it, what's the title of your most recent production?
So my most recent production, I have the Sunshine Rhythm, which is out now on all streaming platforms.
Mm-hmm.
That project features Aisha, upcoming artist, mm-hmm. Established artist artists before Dan Screw, and it also has upcoming artists again, Dema. So that's my first official project. That's my first official project out. We are also doing some works with other upcoming artists. So you never might know what you might hear, because we have a lot of conversations in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm. And I must say, congratulations. Congratulations. No, sir. Simple is not just a bag of chips. He's a few bags of chips. No, yeah. Sir, big up yourself, Jordan. I have to say that I'm really proud. I most of them did not see this coming. So I am as excited as I am proud of you. Congrats, man.
Thank you.
Now, as we turned on the lights, thank you all for tuning into another episode of Mecca Coffee and Reason. And if you like what you have heard thus far, please remember to like, share, and subscribe to our podcast channels on all platforms. Leave a comment under each episode to let us know how this podcast episode have impacted you. And feel free to send us a message on our Instagram page at Mecca Coffee and Reason, or via email at schoolnursedouglas@gmail.com with the names and contacts of those who you'd like to see next reasoning with us. Or if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in the Mecca Reason series, let us know just the same on our platforms. Now, as we say hello to a brand new week, let's remember our podcast mantra. We are all brewing resilience and sipping strength, one cup at a time. As the week goes on, allow the aroma of freshly brewed coffee to inspire authentic conversations. And may every episode leave you with a sense of connection, reflection, and a renewed appreciation for the simple joy of sharing thoughts over a cup of coffee. See you next Sunday on the Mecca Coffee and Reason podcast.